live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, as expected, the Donegal Garda Division is to be amalgamated into a new division with Sligo and Leitrim under a new operating model announced today, which has led to concerns about how this will impact policing in Donegal. People are being warned not to swim at Bundoran Beach due to possible health risks. A man has been sentenced to 9 years in prison for a number of child sexual offences in Derry. And the hashtag Love Donegal Day campaign has been hailed as huge success. Those stories to follow and fill, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, groups representing Garda superintendents, sergeants, inspectors and rank and file members have expressed concerns over the radical restructuring of the force. Major reforms are being introduced, including amalgamating some Garda divisions to bring the number down from 28 to 19. It was confirmed today that, as expected, the Donegal Garda Division is to be amalgamated into a new division with Sligo and Leitrim. The new policing model promises to deploy 1,800 additional members to the front line and to free up more officers from performing non-core duties. Donegal GRA spokesperson Brendan O'Connor has serious reservations about how this shake-up will affect policing in Donegal.
What's been banded about here is actually a further distancing of management layers and a lack of accessibility for community groups, for local representatives, for businesses, to their local police managers who get to make decisions about operational policing in the area. So certainly would have huge concerns, keep an open mind, but have seen nothing to convince us that this is a forward step. It seems to be more thinking around with lines on maps rather than actually delivering for frontline services and frontline policing and giving our members the modern tools, equipment and training that they want to do their job, which is what we thought modernisation and transformation would deliver. It has been scrapped. We're now in a new place, but again, we see all we're talking about is administration and lines and maps.
And you did touch on there that management could be placed elsewhere. It is expected that the chief superintendent will be now situated in Sligo. Is that going to create problems, do you think, down the line?
Well, look, we can't confirm that the chief is going to be moved. The chief could well be in Donegal. We're probably moving between two locations. But yes, it comes down to accessibility. And as managers at the moment speak about the isolation and the difficulty they have with getting hands-on with huge geographical areas. And again, if you move that further and lesser, it's definitely a diminution, I would say, of the connection between the people that are serving communities, the communities themselves, and that layer of management. Look, I don't speak for management. I'm often critical of management. But at the end of the day, the boss needs to be hands-on, know what's going on, and have the knowledge to make decisions that are suitable for the unique. And I say Donegal has unique circumstances. No other division that is the same circumstances as Donegal.
However, Commissioner Drew Harris says despite opposition from representative bodies, he's not going to delay the plan.
We are now at the point of implementation. This point always had to come. There's been enough conversation. It's a time for some action. And I am not prepared to wait further months and delay on this, because I can see real advantages in terms of how I use my resources to protect the people of Ireland.
Meanwhile, Donegal Deputy Patha Cope-Gallagher is also one of those calling for the new operating model to be delayed to allow for a period of consultation. He says the experience of previous radical changes to public services has not always been successful, citing the example of the creation of the HSE. Deputy Gallagher believes the Donegal Garda Division should have remained intact.
I shudder to think what will happen in the next number of years. We have the example of an old North Western Health Board amalgamation into the HSE. Now, of course, that's been reversed. When we look at the VECs or the ETBs, the amalgamations, Donegal stood alone because of its geographical position. And I have suggested to the Commissioner and to the Minister that Donegal should stand alone again for a number of reasons, because of our location, because of Brexit, proximity to the border. And when one looks at the proposals now, it's been proposed that Kerry stands alone. It's been proposed that Galway stands alone. alone, and it doesn't make sense that Donegal should be amalgamated. Of course, we should listen to the proposals, but I believe that they should not be written in stone. This should be like a green paper out for consultation that all public representatives, the general public, the Garda Representative Association, and all of those should have an input into this.
The French president has told the British Prime Minister the backstop is indispensable. The two leaders met in Paris today to discuss Brexit. Boris Johnson wants to negotiate a new withdrawal agreement. However, Emmanuel Macron said that a new deal wouldn't be possible within 30 days. The French president says there is still time to negotiate.
No one would wait until the 31st of October to find the right solution. But if we fail, we won't be able to do whatever it takes at the last minute. So we will make the most of this time to find a solution without totally reshuffling the withdrawal agreement.
Meanwhile, more than half of the members of the Assembly in the North are supporting the backstop. The MLAs made up of Sinn Féin, SDLP, Alliance and the Greens have written a letter to EU Council President Donald Tusk expressing their support for the guarantee. People are being warned not to swim at Bundoran Beach due to possible health risks. The no-swim warning has been issued by Donegal County Council and is expected to be in place for the next 3 days. It's understood that there are possible elevated levels of E. coli in the water due to recent heavy rainfall. The council say they will be monitoring this situation over the coming days, but local councillor Michael McMahon anticipates the ban may be lifted sooner rather than later after a further test is conducted this evening.
But I do know that it's a precautionary measure and the beach will be open in the morning. It's due to, I suppose, the high volume of rain and flooding last night, which was a very bad night, and the heavy rain and flooding yesterday. So it's water quality problem and we're hoping that everything is okay and that we'll be back in action in the morning, you know. This is a temporary and a precautionary measure.
The initial statement from the council today did indicate that it would be in place for 3 days, but you're of the opinion that it may be lifted tomorrow.
Well, the norm is 24 to 36 hours, like, you know, so I'm hoping that it will be okay, that they will take another sample again tonight and then take another sample very early in the morning. The sample that they will take tonight will be very important. It's important that the beach is kept open at all times, but if there's any danger, or we have to take the precautionary measures. Unfortunately, that's the way it is.
Obviously, it would be ideal to have this ban lifted heading into another weekend at the end of the summer.
That is correct. You need the beach open at all times, but then you have to make sure that the water is of top quality, and at the moment with the heavy rains and the bad night, that's not forthcoming at the moment.
A man has been sentenced to 9 years in prison for a number of child sexual offences in Derry. He was convicted of 14 counts of historical child sexual abuse against a girl between 1986 and 1991. John McCavanagh has more.
The man has been sentenced to 9 years, 6 to be spent in custody and 3 on probation. He'll also be subject to a sexual offences prevention order. The man was convicted on 14 counts of historical child sexual abuse against a female child, 6 indecent assaults and 8 cases of gross indecency during a period from 1986 to 1991. Detective Constable Rankin said the woman displayed immense courage in coming forward to police and seeing this trial through to a successful conclusion. He's hopeful her tenacity and resolution to bring this man to justice will encourage anyone else who's experienced any form of sexual abuse to come forward to police. The Detective Constable says the Public Protection Branch are committed to investigating all reports of sexual offences against children and young people, and regardless of when an offence took place, they will seek to place offenders before the courts so they can be made amenable for their crimes.
Green Party leader Eamon Ryan has said he believes an initiative to bring people to live around smaller towns and villages would do much to revitalise rural Ireland, particularly in Donegal. Mr Ryan was speaking on the 9 till noon show. He told Greg Hughes that the best way to combat the government's perceived assault on rural Ireland would be to grow the population in areas which have lost their post offices, Garda stations and other facilities.
The loss of the post offices, the loss of the Garda stations, they're all in the centre of the villages and towns that I'm talking about. And I think the way you reverse those decisions is by bringing commercial life and community life back into the centre of village communities like that. And that's the way they will thrive. The problem at the moment is we're all worried about that, but then we're all driving 30 miles or 40 miles to an outer town centre, a massive supermarket somewhere, and our local community businesses are dying. The way to restore that is have local people living close to local shops, close to local schools. One of the points that was was made by one of the developers who are rolling out broadband is actually in a lot of areas, and I would include Donegal in this, is that there's a huge amount of houses which are vacant, which are not actually, be they holiday homes or be they houses that are not being lived in. So when it comes to the kind of very rural areas, actually one of the problems is we have houses that are empty.
However, Donegal ENT representative Mary T. Sweeney accused Mr. Ryan of seeking to move people away from their family farms. She believes the Green Leader's suggestion does not recognise the emotional bonds people have with their farms and their parishes.
He's forgetting about the tie that people have, and the cultural tie and emotional tie that people have in rural communities to their parish and to their land. And the farming community especially are being hammered in this country at the moment. And to suggest that the farming family cannot build even on the family land is absolutely ridiculous. What protection have the families got now that want to build on their own land? So you're going to suggest that somebody's forced into a mortgage of a couple of hundred thousand when they have an actual site that they could reduce their overall cost to maybe 120,000 to build a house when they have the land.
Gardaí and Donegal are warning of another scam doing the rounds. This time, callers claiming to represent Air Broadband are ringing from a number beginning 07158. Gardaí are advising that genuine Air Broadband services do not call requesting personal details over the phone. People are advised to be cautious and to never give personal details out over the phone, to instead hang up, take note of the number and, if possible, contact local Gardaí. There are calls for urgent action to fill vacant business units in Donegal. It comes as the county has been deemed as having one of the highest commercial property vacancy rates in the country, according to the latest survey by Geo Directory. The report revealed that the six counties with the highest vacancy rates were all in the west and northwest. Ballybofey has been cited as a particular black spot in the county, and local councillor Patrick McGowan believes that more can be done to tackle the issue.
Most of these units are small units that are in the main streets and the side streets there, and there are really a lot of buildings that need to be kind of brought up to sort of modern day standards, you know, for wheelchair access, etc. And that, you know, and there have been quite a few developments over the years, like Lidl, Aldi and Trevelyan and all them, that are sort of built off street, and it's left quite a few of these commercial buildings, you know, some of them are just glorified two-story houses that have been converted many years ago into businesses. And nowadays, it's quite hard to get these buildings sort of brought up to standard. The other thing is too, that there's been quite a bit of talk about bringing in some kind of initiatives for town centre businesses, you know, to start out. But as yet, nothing has happened, and that's, you can see this. We see it all over the countryside. There's quite a few of these buildings lying empty.
Do you think then there should be more of a push then to get these vacant properties up and running up to a suitable standard in Ballybofey? I suppose particularly with the bypass plans on the horizon, one can only imagine that time is really of the essence, I suppose, to improve that.
Yeah, well, earlier this year I had put a motion into the council asking for two things. One, that they would fast forward any plans to link Ballybofey and Stranraer to the proposed bypass, which still hasn't been fully adopted yet. You know, there would be good linkages into the town centre, number one, but number two, from an economic point of view as well, that there would be a town team put in place from the council to look at trying to see what way Ballybofey and Stranraer can go forward, because Ballybofey and Stranraer very much relies on passing traffic, much more so than any other town in the county.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with great back-to-school offers in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's now 16 minutes past five, and time's latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with rugby, Ireland head coach Joe Schmidt says they have faith in Ross Byrne ahead of Saturday's World Cup warm-up match against England. The Leinster out half will be starting for his country for the first time in the game at Twickenham as he looks to press a claim to make the squad for the tournament in Japan. Johnny Sexton is again rested entirely, with Connacht's Jack Carty among the replacements. Schmidt has plenty of praise for 24-year-old Byrne.
He's trained really well, and it's not his debut. He's had time with us before, so that we've got a lot of confidence in him anyway. And I think he built his way through the season. I thought he was maybe not as impressive as Jack early in the season, and I think those two have become really important to us.
Conor Murray has been selected at scrum half with Bundy, Aki and Gary Ringrose in midfield. Rob Kearney and Jordan Larmour and Jacob Stockdale there in the back three. Rory Best captains the team from hooker with Cian Healy and Tadhg Furlong also in the front row. Ian Henderson joins Jan Klein in the second row with Peter O'Mahony, CJ Stander and Josh Van de Fleer in the back row. And Owen Farrell, he returns at inside centre to captain England with scrum half Ben Youngs alongside George Ford. Manu Tuilagi also starts, but the returning Michael Vunipolo has to settle for a place on the bench. And the Cardiff City Stadium has been confirmed as the venue for this season's Guinness Pro 14 final. The venue is the home of Sky Bet Championship side Cardiff City. It's returned to the Welsh capital for the first time since 2010. Moving on to soccer, and Celtic are expected to seal the return of Fraser Foster on loan today. The England goalkeeper left Parkhead for Southampton 5 years ago. Craig Gordon will start in goal for Neil Lennon's side in the first leg of the Europa League playoff with AAK tonight. Elsewhere, Wolves are away to Torino. Rangers are at Legia Warsaw, while Linfield, they take on Quarterback, that's in Belfast. And in some other news, Sheffield United boss Chris Wilder says he didn't put any pressure on Oliver Norwood to retire from international football. The midfielder announced the decision this week after winning 57 caps for Northern Ireland. Bolton have confirmed the departure of manager Phil Parkinson and his assistant Steve Parkin. The crisis hit League One club say they've accepted the pair's resignations with great reluctance. Back locally, Bonagie United can secure the 2019 Northwest Women's Super League title tonight, but the Dry Arts side must beat the defending champions Illies in order to claim the prize. Bonagie sit 8 points clear at the summit with 4 games to play, so victory at Illies will give them an unassailable advantage. In golf, $15 million of prize money is on offer for the winner of this week's season-ending PGA Tour Championship in golf. In a change of the format, each player's starting score will reflect how they qualified during the season. Leader Justin Thomas, he begins at 10 under par in Atlanta this evening, with Rory McIlroy 5 shots further back. In the European Tour this week, it's the Scandinavian Invitations taking place in Gothenburg in Sweden. Leading the way is Wade Ormsby. He shot a 62 today, sitting 8 under par. He's 1 shot clear of Alexander Levy. He's back on 7 under par. Gavin Moynihan's the best of the Irish and 1 under par. Michael Hoy finished at 2 over. Paul Dunn is still in the course. He's 4 over par through 15 holes. In Gaelic games, Derek McGrath ruled himself out of the race to succeed Pádraig Fanning as Waterford senior hurling manager. McGrath, who managed the Daoiseach for 4 seasons between 2014 and 2018, had implied he may be interested in a return to the role. He has now said, having momentarily thought about the position, he has decided against putting his name forward and wished the prospective candidates well. In boxing, Joe Ward will make his professional debut in New York in October. The 3-time European amateur light heavyweight champion set to fight on the undercard of Gennady Golovkin's IBF world middleweight title defence at Madison Square Garden. An opponent has yet to be confirmed for the Westmeath Southpaw. Ward recently signed the New York based promoters time was recently signed with the New York based promoters Times Square Boxing. In tennis, Andy Murray will play in the Challenger Tennis Tour for the first time in 14 years next week. He's decided to enter the Rafa Nadal Open in Mallorca at the Spaniards Academy. The former world number one has lost both of his singles matches he has played since returning from hip surgery and is dropping down a level as he builds up his match fitness. Finally for this evening, in horse racing, the John Gotson trained Enable has won the Darley Yorkshire Oaks at York today. Frankie Dettori guided her to her 10th Group 1 win ahead of the Aidan O'Brien trained Magical. It marks her last race in Britain, with her career due to finish up at the Prix d'Arc de Triomphe in October. The 5-year-old will aim to become the first horse in history to win the race for the third time. And Pat Smullen has been forced to withdraw from next month's Champions race for cancer trials in Ireland following a health setback. The 9-time flat jockey champion is set to undergo chemotherapy and says he's bitterly disappointed to miss the charity race. Smullen retired from the saddle in May after a year-long battle against pancreatic cancer. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And finally in news, the hashtag Love Donegal Day campaign has been hailed a huge success. Last Wednesday, the initiative reached worldwide audiences of over 33 million people, trended at number one in Ireland and trended in the UK and the US. The total number of social media posts was over 190,000. The day was part of the Donegal Connect event, which is running from September the 27th to October the 6th. Chief Executive of Donegal Local Enterprise, Michael Tunney, says there have been a number of inquiries from the diaspora by moving back to the county as a result of the campaign.
I think it far surpassed any of our expectations in relation to the impact we would have. We trended for 12 hours as number one in Ireland on the day. We also trended in the UK and in the US for a short while. And we also had a significant trending up in Belfast with a reach of 33.5 million. So it was quite substantial. And from the point of view of Donegal Connect, we were delighted as well. I mean, not only had we loved Donegal, but also there was under the Donegal Connect, which is our event end of September, start of October, we had a reach of nearly 18.2 million. So yeah, it achieved what we hoped it would achieve, but surpassed our expectations.
And indeed, the initiative has led to a number of inquiries from the diaspora about moving home and relocating to the county, which is to be welcomed.
We have, through our diaspora, Officer Joanne has quite a number of inquiries. She's still in the process of getting back to just inquiries about employment opportunities for moving back. And also I've dealt with two direct, and as a third one, people inquiring about investing in the county. And these are people who have businesses or are in businesses, and either the owner or the chief executive has a connection with Donegal, or they themselves had a connection. So again, it's three inquiries we wouldn't have had. And I suppose it really ties in to this, you know, how do we contact our diaspora and how do we stay in touch with them? And this has shown that definitely digital media is one way of doing it, and is the way that a lot of people now, rather than the sort of the old way ahead of almost going and having to see the whites of their eyes, but definitely digital media in this context and what we're trying to do in the diaspora project, I'd be saying, yeah, we need to do more of it, and we need to get our act together in relation to our overall digital media strategy for diaspora, our website for diaspora and for the county.
For weather now, cloudy this evening with frequent light rain and drizzle. Drier weather will spread gradually late this evening. Tonight will become mostly dry apart from some light rain or drizzle along coast, with lowest temperatures of 12 to 13 degrees and light to moderate southwest breezes. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, groups representing Garda superintendents, sergeants, inspectors and rank and file members have expressed concerns over the radical restructuring of the force. It was confirmed today that, as expected, the Donegal Garda Division is to be amalgamated into a new division with Sligo and Leitrim. Meanwhile, Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher is calling for the new operating model to be delayed to allow for a period of consultation. He says the experience of previous radical changes to public services has not always been successful, citing the example of the creation of the HSE. People are being warned not to swim at Bundoran Beach due to possible health risks. The no-swim warning has been issued by Donegal County Council and is expected to be in place for the next 3 days. And a man has been sentenced to 9 years in prison for a number of child sexual offences in Derry. He was convicted of 14 counts of historical child sexual abuse against a girl between 1986 and 1991. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 22nd of August. The death has taken place of Desi McLaughlin, 44, Carnivaro Road, Legfreshy, Drumquin. His remains are reposing at his home with funeral from there on Sunday morning for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Langfield, Drumquin. House private pleas tonight with viewing from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. tomorrow and Saturday. The death has taken place of Annette Ferry, née Hegney of Glasgow, and Brinalec Gwydor. Her remains will repose at the family home at Park Brinalec from 5 o'clock tomorrow evening, with rosary at 9 o'clock. Funeral Mass in St Colum Kills Chapel, Knockfalla, on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private pleas after the rosary and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of John Hegarty, Stralil, Carrick, County Donegal. His remains will arrive at his home to repose at 5:45 this evening. Removal from there on Saturday morning for funeral mass in St. Cartha's Church, Kilcar, at 12 noon, with interment afterwards in Kilcar Cemetery. And the death has occurred of Bridget Kelly, Drumbow Stranorder, formerly Sweeney of Minatotten Dunlow. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorder, followed by interment in Drumbow Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to palliative care, Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral.